WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former FBI Director James Comey says bring on the trial after he was indicted on two federal counts at the urging of President Trump. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
It's not a surprise that they were able to get the indictment against James Comey, but there's a long way to go before getting a conviction.
The statute of limitations in the case was set to expire next week. Get ready to pay more for another batch of imports. CBS's Jesse Mitchell.
President Trump says his administration will impose new tariffs on a range of items, including pharmaceuticals, furniture, and heavy trucks made outside the U.S.
Irish hip-hop star Mo Cara with the group Kneecap scored a victory at court in the UK this morning. CBS's Vicky Barker is there.
The judge threw out the terror-related charge against him for technical reasons. His alleged crime, waving a flag of the banned terror group Hezbollah at a London gig.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. Congressman Tom Tiffany is officially running for the Republican nomination for governor. He had a launch party in central Wisconsin on Wednesday. Civic Media's Isabella Nieto has more.
Tiffany announced his bid for the top state seat on Tuesday and launched his campaign Wednesday night at the Peterson Barn in Wausau. Tiffany, who currently represents Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, pledged to serve out his term in Congress, but says he's ready for a new chapter.
I have a record of results. I have the common sense values that we all share, and I will give you the leadership you deserve.
In his speech, Tiffany spoke about his upbringing on a dairy farm, saying it taught him the value of hard work and budgeting.
And there are no excuses on the farm. You pick up a shovel, you pick up the pitchfork, and you go to work.
He criticized Governor Tony Evers and Democratic leadership in Madison, saying the Wisconsin dream is, quote, slipping away. Tiffany laid out key priorities if elected governor, including cutting taxes, expanding school choice, supporting law enforcement, and restoring what he calls Wisconsin values. He also promised to freeze property taxes and eliminate what he called Evers' 400-year tax increase.
It's dead, day one. Day one, it's gone.
For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
In the GOP primary, Tiffany faces Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Milwaukee businessman Bill Berrien, who pulled out of a planned appearance at the Manitowoc County Republican picnic last night. That's after reports surfaced that his social media account followed explicit content. Some Republicans are now calling for him to step aside. Congressman Tony Weed of Ashwaubenon endorsed Tiffany's bid yesterday. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman.
The boys are back in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Cincinnati Reds. In the final weekend of the regular season, Quinn Priester on the mound for Milwaukee. They've won 19 games in a row whenever he's pitched. Third baseman, Caleb Durbin.
There's something about just the way he looks, the way he composes himself, body language. It's easy to feed off of as far as playing defense behind him, but I think that's why he's so successful out there right now, is he's just competing like a bulldog, and it's easy to tell.
NFL, the Packers play the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, but Dallas will be without their top wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, out the next 3 to 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Xavier McKinney.
You know, he's a playmaker on their offense, and he's one of the, you know, the best players that they have on their team. So obviously, you know, him not being out there is going to have an effect. But I think they're still going to run a lot of, you know, what they usually run. And this is going to be a next man up type of mentality.
That's the Packers safety, Xavier McKinney, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low dropping into the mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, time for a little recombobulation with Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer joins us. I hope you will too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is a Friday morning. It is 6:06 on this September 26th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here, not from the Lake Wissota studio, but from here in Madison Studio A2 at the top of State Street, just off the Capitol Square. But we are pleased to have you live across the Civic Media Radio Network from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening or watching, and appreciate you wrapping up your work week right here. I got a question for you. It's not much of a pop quiz, but we'll bring Parker Olson in anyway, who's producing this thing.
Oh, God, I thought I was done with pop
literally
quiz.
Right across the room from me, right here, but lighting. Lighting is everything,
yeah.
As I've come to learn. I got a question for you. Packers, Cowboys, who do you got?
Well, America's team is not exactly America's team anymore.
It's never been America's team.
There you go.
So long ago.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yep.
That is what we take here at Up North.
It's amazing that the Cowboys still get the attention that they do. I mean, they've done nothing.
They just keep blowing themselves up so well.
It's on.
That's why.
They are the Kardashians of the NFL.
That is a really good line.
They're famous for being famous. They don't actually do anything of any consequence except fight and create drama.
Yeah.
That's it. And so the Packers head into there like they've walked onto a soundstage, like I'm in a reality show. What's, you know, you've got Jerry Jones's, you know, version of Disney World there under the, what is that, the AT&T Stadium, whatever
I believe
it is,
that's what I just call it, Jerry's World.
Jerry's World, you know, yeah. Where it is so far from City Stadium, where the Packers used to play before Lambeau Field,
yeah,
where it was just folks on the bleachers and enjoying a football game. It is such show business now. However, it is a national stage. It is Sunday Night Football. Coverage will begin at 5 o'clock Sunday on some stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And so, I mean, it is a fair question after what happened, you know, against Cleveland last week.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
Do we think the Packers can get back on track against the Cowboys? And so that's one of the questions heading into the weekend. Maybe it's not your biggest question.
I think it'll be okay. I'm not too worried.
You're not too worried?
I'm not too worried.
Okay.
The Packer defense is fine, except for when they absolutely need to be not, you know.
Well, you know, when we are starting this show on Monday, sleep deprived, we'll have a rough idea of where things are going here. So again, that's kind of our question, getting set up for the weekend here. And of course, you can let us know your own thoughts on, you know, the Packers taking on the Cowboys. You can also just ask any other questions or make comments, of course, by just heading into the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube for Up North News or for Civic Media, or using the Civic Media app to text us. Remember, you're going to need that Civic Media app to text us about an hour from now when we give you the keyword for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you could win tickets to see Green Bay take on Minnesota come November. So that's the football end of things. Then we've got baseball because, again, we're heading into the final weekend of the regular season. And in many places, it's the final weekend of baseball. But not here, as the Brewers go for wins 97, 98, and 99 on the season, which would each be a franchise record. They're taking down the Reds, and the pregame begins at 6:35 on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. And the Reds are, they're in the fight of their lives right now, Parker, along with others. So they're going to be motivated. So
I worry a little that we might get our doors blown off because I think we're starting to mail it in a little.
Mail it in means we're resting up the starters.
Okay,
we're getting, even though they will have like a week off, trying to avoid injuries, trying to avoid dumb mistakes this weekend.
You know what I want to see this weekend?
What do you want to see this weekend?
I want to see Jacob Mizrowski out of the bullpen.
Yes. You know what? Here's my bold prediction, which isn't that bold. I think they'll do that. I think they'll try that.
Yeah. Good.
Why? Because I'm pretty sure I heard Pat Murphy say that.
Oh, really?
Saying a few days back, like, yeah, we might try him out of the bullpen just to see how that goes.
I did not know that. Okay.
I'm
a genius.
I could be making it up. Maybe you're not that clairvoyant. I don't know. But I would like that very much. And it's nothing against him. I mean, again, those first couple of starts were magical. Yeah. But I think hitters were able to dial into him pretty well.
So. Yeah, I mean, MLB is so hard.
There you go. Put that on a plaque.
Ultimately, that's what it is. MLB is just so hard.
Mm-hmm. It is, and he's finding that out, as many pitchers have, when you come in with all kinds of heat, and then they turn you into meat. And that's how it goes. Reminder that you can stay up to date with what we're doing at Up North News by signing up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And Ellie has created a special edition today, chock full of fall festivals and Oktoberfests, and even a preview of some of the Halloween attractions that are going to be coming up across Wisconsin. So get yourself signed up for that newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, and get today's special edition. And then, of course, we've got our Sunday morning edition as well that I work on, Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow, coincidentally enough. And I ask this week, if there is another government shutdown next week, who will be to blame? And a lot of people want to answer both congressional Republicans and Donald Trump. And I'm asking, look, if it's either or, who's to blame more? And how many people think it's Democrats? Perhaps the other question, and maybe the next week's question I should ask is, if there's a shutdown, will Democrats cave? Because that's exactly what the Trump administration is hoping for, as I'll discuss with Kia Vakil coming up here. So again, that's part of our question of the week. You get that on Sunday mornings by signing up for our newsletter there. Roger reminds us on Facebook that the Brewers' magic number is 1 for home field number 1 seed all through the playoffs. It just takes one Brewer win or one Philly loss over the course of this weekend, and we'll get that home field advantage, which will be great. I mean, extra home games, extra tickets. I still need tickets for tomorrow night. I was talking to my friend.
Still?
Yes. I'm like, how are you doing on those tickets? He's like, I'm going to work on that later. So,
dude.
I know. I think he's, again, we've talked about this. He's trying to, in the stock market, they call it trying to catch a falling knife. And he's trying to bank on people going, they're in the playoffs. There's going to be playoff games. I'd rather go to that and not go to the series this weekend. But a lot of people thinking, hey, this weekend's the last time tickets are affordable.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I would have thought that with you being in town and having come down primarily for mm-hmm. the reason of going to that game, yes. I kind of thought.
I did too. I'm not gonna lie.
2 cents. I'm not gonna say too much about your relationship with your friends, but just so you know, that's my 2 cents.
Pick. We had his wife is away on a trip this weekend, and so it's been great just catching up. We have told all kinds of stories. We've asked each other, hey, whatever happened to so and so?
Oh God, yeah.
And it's been really nice, grilling out in the backyard and things like that. So yeah, it's been kind of good to catch up. It's been a good little break. It's been good to finally see you. We got to go to coffee yesterday. That's a joke, by the way. People know Parker does not drink coffee, but you sat there and watched me drink mine very nicely.
Yes.
As we talked about how to move things forward here, and we're moving things forward in a nice way. And today's history lesson coming up in a bit. We can't give many details because Greg Bach might be listening in, but
that's true.
We've got a part of our history segment tailor-made for Greg Bach's weekly visit to come see us.
I'm very excited. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to this too. It's all the pressure. You think the pressure's on me and Greg to be entertaining. It's actually all on Parker because it's all technical. It's all about production and whether we can pull this off or not. So we'll see. So stick around for that coming up 20 minutes from right now. There's so many different ways that we can head into the news and talk about what is happening here in terms of, for example, the trumped up, literally, charges against former FBI Director Jim Comey. But we'll wait to talk about that in our next hour with Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze, because, again, it does indicate a weaponization of the United States Department of Justice, which, again, as we've said so many times, it has always been about projection with America's right wing, is that they accuse you of the thing they want to do. You know, Donald Trump did not like being finally hauled into court and ultimately convicted for fraud when he committed fraud. And he called that the weaponization of government, so that when he gets in, he is actually weaponizing it. And in the case of Jim Comey, trumping up a charge that would not be prosecuted in any other way. And no career prosecutors were involved in this, by the way. Nobody wanted to handle this case yesterday. It was a political appointee who has never tried a case who went to this grand jury to get the indictment. And what's the old saying in law? You can indict a ham sandwich, but the trick is getting a conviction. And so, you know, there are tactics at work here that Kia Vakil will talk about in just a minute. So we could talk about that, but I do want to mention a few words about the teacher in Ellsworth, Krista Lasecki. And after communicating with her last night, it appears that she will no longer be teaching in Ellsworth. She could not give, you know, details of any kind of a separation agreement or anything like that. But it is a case of, even if she agreed to it, even if she put her name on the bottom line, let's keep in mind that she has lost her job teaching, not because of any words that she posted. She has the freedom to do that. She lost her job because of a sitting member of the United States Congress, her congressman, Derek Van Orden, who then threatened the city of Ellsworth with a loss of federal funding if this one teacher was not disciplined, called out, made public, doxed, everything, for making comments about Charlie Kirk that he didn't like. But again, while Krista has expressed regret for bringing some unwanted attention to Ellsworth and takes responsibility for her words, they do not rise to the level of hate speech. And that's what Derek Van Orden and all the others were claiming. Good Lord, no, not hate speech. There is a saying, the way you die does not change the way you lived. Charlie Kirk's record is clear, and so is Krista Lasecki's. One of them taught children well for 30 years in Western Wisconsin. The other taught children to hate. And some of Charlie Kirk's acolytes are in true hate mode right now, which, I mean, ultimately is not a surprise. What it has done in our country, it has brought a new red scare to America. It is costing Americans their jobs for actions that do not rise to any legal level of impropriety. But when you have people from Wisconsin, like Joseph McCarthy then and Derek Van Orden and friends now, who have no regard for the rule of law, only the rule of a dear leader, only a cult of personality, you will have Americans having their freedoms curtailed. And that's exactly what happened to this teacher in Ellsworth. And that's exactly what has happened to now countless Americans around the country, no different than the Red Scare of the late 40s, early 1950s. This entire administration and the people who conducted themselves in this manner will bring a dark stain to American history. We're always told by the right wing, oh, you're teaching people to hate our history. We don't hate our history. We tell an honest record of our history. And that honest telling will be one of hateful people doing harmful things right here in Wisconsin and across the country. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We're taking a little bit of a detour this week on the Recombobulation Minute so I can tell you about a brand new project we've been working on here at Civic Media that we're really, really excited about. So here at the Civic Media Network, we produce a tremendous amount of content on any given day. From our news team all over the state to our daily lineup of political talk and commentary shows to our many podcasts and weekend shows to local morning shows to all kinds of digital content, there can be a lot to keep up with. But now we're bringing you a new way to find all of this tremendous content all in one place. It's a new email newsletter called Civic Media Today. Like the Recombobulation Area, it also publishes on Substack. This is going to be your one-stop shop to connect with everything across the Civic Media extended universe, from podcasts and live streams of your favorite shows to the latest on everything happening across Wisconsin. So go subscribe to Civic Media Today.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
All right, welcome back. It is 6:22 on this Friday morning, and let's begin our week in review, get you caught up on all the things you might have missed over the past week. Of course, we've got our panel coming up in the next hour, and in this hour from Courier Newsroom, we've got National Political Editor Kia Vakil from Los Angeles. Kia, how are you?
I am all right, Pat. How about yourself?
It has been another week in Trump world where, you know, the norms mean nothing. And I think that the headline from yesterday and frankly, the one from the day before, that really captured this. OK, it's a sitting president directing the Department of Justice. Yesterday, it was George Soros, who finances lots of left wing causes. Courier Newsroom gets some support from him as well. The day before that, it was the FBI former director, Jim Comey. And of course, before that was ABC. Now, Jimmy Kimmel was put back on ABC, and I kind of thought, well, maybe the tide is turning, but clearly Donald Trump didn't get that memo, and it sure seems like he's content to continue trying to turn the U.S. Department of Justice into his own personal, you know, legal vengeance tool.
He is going to push every single limit, law, rule, norm, whatever you could think of, and he's not going to win all of them, but he's going to, you know, it's going to... It already has in a lot of cases forced companies have just settled and given in rather than deal with the legal onslaught risk over being regulated in some way they don't want. And it's alarming because it's essentially, you know, one man using the mighty power of the American federal government to go after anything he doesn't like or approve of, whether that's TV station, a show, a host, a George Soros, a liberal organization, a voting rights group, you know, the ephemeral thing that they claim is Antifa. You know, there is no shortage of targets they could go after. They can, you know, and they're not going to be successful in every case or maybe necessarily in even most cases. But if you force these groups, most of which don't operate on huge budgets, most of which, you know, may not even have in-house counsel to have to fund legal fees and defend themselves, that could force a lot of them into bankruptcy. This is a favorite tool of authoritarians to use the power of the state against any enemies, real or perceived.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is we have continued sliding toward that authoritarianism, toward that autocracy. And there are very few guardrails left. Now, one potential one that certainly has public support is finding justice for the victims of sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. And that, in some way, shape, or form, we still don't know how, but Donald Trump is named in those files. And there's this petition in Congress to release them. And now, thanks to an Arizona special election, Trump's effort to distract from anything but the Epstein files might not work. So can you talk a bit about what a discharge petition is and what happened in Arizona to maybe change things?
Yeah, so basically an Arizona special election to fill the seat of a lawmaker who died. His daughter won the seat. She had been a longtime lawmaker. So that gave, you know, enough representatives to sign on to the discharge position, which is filed by Republican Thomas Massie from Kentucky, who is a kind of was a Tea Party guy and has like been one of the, I mean, pretty much the only Tea Party guy who's still held to some principle in the Trump era and has become a thorn in Trump's side. You know, I don't want to lionize the guy. We have a lot of disagreements, but he's been pretty consistent on Epstein, which, you know, in the face of everyone else who's backed away from giving a crap about it on the right. So Thomas Massie introduced this discharge petition that will need 218 signatures, a majority in the House. And right now they've been at 217 for a little while. It's been every Democrat, Massie, and a couple Republicans. But the win from the Arizona lawmaker, the Democrat, gives them 218, which would essentially then force a House floor vote on the release of records related to Jeffrey Epstein. And so that would, one, put every Republican on the record for either voting for or against that. Two, presumably, if they have enough votes on the discharge petition, they could get enough votes for the actual release of the records. You know, what would happen after that with the Senate is unclear, but that's what would happen. Right now, what we're seeing is the White House and congressional leaders are really, really pressuring those couple Republicans who signed on, trying to force them to retract their signatures, basically. I am not a conspiracy theorist by nature. I am not someone who was always chasing after the Epstein files, but the way in which they've responded over the last 6 months, and especially to this discharge petition, really suggests there is something really, really nefarious and not good for Trump in those files.
And by the way, let's make clear that if you say you stand for law and order, if you say you stand with getting justice for Epstein's victims, you should know that most Republicans don't agree, at least not enough to sign that discharge petition. No Republicans from Wisconsin are on there. But if that petition is filed, they would then have to be on the record voting for or against the release of those files. And then finally, we have the prospect of a government shutdown next week. And President Trump is ratcheting up the pressure more than a couple of notches with threats of, you know, layoffs far beyond what would be required in a government shutdown. Tia, my own question to you is, do you think the Democrats will hold the line and hope that public pressure falls harder on Republicans rather than Democrats to be the good guys and stop the shutdown?
I think in the short term, yes. I think we're going to head for a shutdown because Trump doesn't want to meet with Democrats, doesn't want to negotiate, has no interest, canceled a meeting, and is now essentially trying to mob boss bully them into agreeing to pass a spending bill without extending Affordable Care Act subsidies, which really is the one like key thing that Democrats are pushing for. I think we're going to have a shutdown. The question of how long it is, I don't know. I think, will Democrats, you know, hold firm? I don't know. Depends what the politics of it turn out to be in the coming weeks. I could see it going either way. This is a shutdown I could see going on for honestly quite a while because you have Trump and his, you know, loyalists in Congress who have no real respect for anything, and Democrats need to show fight. And so this could be a recipe for an extended shutdown.
It truly could. Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national political editor, telling us about all that and more as we get started on the weekend here. Kia, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks, Pat.
Coming up, we'll have today's history lesson. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
No artificial dyes. How can Wisconsin food manufacturers get around it? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. One ice cream maker in Chautauqua never had artificial dyes. His story next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Alan Kirshner from Kirshner Super Premium Ice Creams in Chautauqua has only been in business about a year. But from the very beginning, he decided they were not going to use artificial dyes at all.
We're the only ice cream shop in Wisconsin that has never used artificial dyes. So from the very beginning, that was before the national conversation on artificial dyes. We were doing it. We also don't use carrageenan. It's a kind of a it's red seaweed. It's a cheap stabilizer that's virtually in almost all ice cream. That's why a lot of people, after they eat ice cream, after 20 minutes, their gut kind of irritates them. That's not the, may not necessarily be the dairy, but it typically is that carrageenan. We don't use that, so we're carrageenan-free.
That's Alan Kirshner, owner, operator, and founder of Kirshner's Super Premium Ice Cream in Chautauqua. His dedication to a clean label on his super premium ice cream catapulted him to the grand champion spot of the World Dairy Expo Championship Dairy Product Contest in the category of ice cream, sherbet, frozen yogurt, and gelato. He'll be in Madison at World Dairy Expo on Monday to receive the award for his peanut butter chocolate ice cream.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation.
And keeping it dairy, the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association's announced four exceptional dairy processors that have earned their inaugural Member Impact Awards. They include Organic Valley Crop Cooperative as Advocate of the Year, Masters Gallery Foods, the Employer of the Year, AgriPort Sustainable Stewardship Award, and Nasonville Dairy, the Culture of Excellence Award. Those awards will be presented October 21st. That's literally food news on a Thursday. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low dropping into the mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 53.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr joins me with new music and fun conversation. And we'll have a special guest, fast review of the new film, One Battle After Another.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Thank you.
Hey, Greg Bach is here, everybody. And we're going to do TV themes. You know the words. Sing along. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Actual lyrics.
Spanish. Ba, 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 ba.
I actually learned the name of the group that does is The Ventures was the name of the
group.
Yeah.
Doing the. They were hugely influential on British, like, rock and roll. Like, they were very, very. Oh, no. You know what? And The Shadows. Ventures and The Shadows.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. It's
I'm
Friday.
Great.
It's nice to have you here.
It is Friday.
Yeah.
I came in super early this morning to do some work. And you have that thing where you go to the office and there's nobody there and you get more done in like 25 minutes and 30 minutes than you're like, I've been here for 9 hours and I got one thing done.
Yes. Oh, I know. And it is. Sometimes you just need that little isolation edit.
Yep.
Anyway, for today's history lesson, Greg, we're going to make a game out of this. We have so many anniversaries today of TV premieres that we're going to make you our first contestant on the TV Tunes Pop Quiz.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Okay, you're hearing the first of four TV themes. We're going to play three more, and then your job is to put them in order by the date the show first premiered.
Oh, this is just a fun and easy quiz.
This will be easy. All right, well, here's hint number one. All four of these shows premiered on September 26th.
Well, it is today is history.
Okay, I got that going for me. All right, here's hint number two. They all premiered in the 1960s.
Okay, all right. Oh my god. I'm not cheating. I'm writing
it
down.
I know. None of them in the same year. Okay, and then bonus points if you correctly guess the year of each show, not just in what order. Okay, more bonus points if you can correctly guess the network. And even though this is overwhelming you, I'm hearing some listeners out there going, "Oh, bring this on! This is going to be great."
Only Roger is saying that.
Okay,
right now.
It is only Roger and Steven's point. It's true, but at least there's one. So here
we go. I felt less anxiety when I took my ACTs.
Okay? I know. I love this. So make a note of the show. Your guess on what year it debuted, what network is on. Are you ready for TV tune number two?
I guess. Yes.
He's made this way more. Okay. Hit it. Number two.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls.
Again, this was
all of them had hair of gold.
A show that premiered in the 60s on September 26th.
Can I guess what show it is?
No, you can't.
My job. Shut up.
We only have one contestant here. All right?
He knows what the show
is. I'm Alex Trebek. You're Don Pardo. Stay over there, announcer.
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So, Marsha, will Greg get this one right? We'll see. All right. Here it comes. Oh, by the way, quick reminder. Florence Henderson from the Brady Bunch performed at my high school prom. I know.
You just said the name
of the
show.
Like you weren't going to get it. Here comes TV tune number three. And again, Greg's looking to figure out what year these all premiered. All right, have you got this one down, little buddy?
Shut up.
The guy was so happy. He got so much work done, and now I go and throw this pop quiz
at
him.
Yeah, you took away everything.
I took away
from
his
me, sir.
Joy.
Deep cut. I feel like Scarlet Witch in Endgame. You took everything from me.
Here, Greg, is TV tune number four.
Come and listen to my story about a man named
Jay. All right. I got him.
You got him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well, we're going to leave this go because everybody loves this part coming up.
Oil, that is. Black gold, Texas
tea. There we go. All right, Greg, for a grand prize of absolutely nothing but pride or a consolation prize of public embarrassment, put these four TV tunes and their shows in the order of their premiere. As Todd Alba would say, what say you?
Well, a really quick question for clarification.
Yes.
None of them premiered in the same year, though, right?
Correct.
Okay.
That'd be a rude guess.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
All right.
I'm going to go with the first one being the Beverly Hillbillies premiering in 1964.
Okay, Beverly Hillbillies is the correct answer for the first one.
How about that?
All right.
On NBC?
It was 1962 and on CBS. Oh. But you still got it right, so give them a ding for that. All right. That'll work, too.
I don't have a ding. That's all I got.
All right. That's fine. Okay. Which
one? 1962.
Which one was next?
The next one would be, if I want to guess correctly, would be Gilligan's Island.
Oh, you are very good at this. Yes. Congratulations.
And that would be 1964.
That is 1964. You want to guess the network, too?
CBS.
That is correct as well.
Whoa.
Boy, we got to get a... We're going to wear this key out over here. All right.
I hope we get something wrong.
Which one was third?
Brady Bunch.
Ooh, no, sorry.
It was Hawaii 5-0?
It was Hawaii 5-0 in 1968, also on CBS. Okay. And then the Brady Bunch was
1969.
Do you happen to know that network?
ABC. No,
that is correct.
No.
Now you're going to let you second guess yourself.
You got it.
You got it.
All right, ABC. Okay.
So Beverly Hillbillies on this day in 1962, Gilligan's Island on this date in 1964, Hawaii 5-0 premiered on this day in 1968, and the Brady Bunch premiered on this day in 1969. What an easy peasy, enjoyable music quiz that was for you, Greg Bach.
That was great.
I'm going to go get a drink.
I mean, what else was I going to do with four? I had four TV themes sitting there in front of me. What else could I do with that? But have a little
true.
Fun.
Very true.
And
I have a question for Parker really quick.
Yes.
Oh, no.
How many of those shows had you heard of before this?
Every single one of them.
You'd heard of them.
I have heard of every single one of them. I have seen a little bit of Gilligan's Island. I think I've seen a little Brady Bunch. I had not seen Beverly Hillbillies at all or Hawaii 5-0.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you never watched the reboot of Hawaii 5-0 from a few years ago?
No.
Okay.
Hawaii 5-0.1.
Yeah, right?
Pat's Island.
Pat's Island. Gilligan's Island. Tony Gessel on YouTube. It does kind of feel like Pat's Island here. We're just right here in the middle of Studio A2. Shall we get back to some traditional history stuff? On this day in 1964, when that was that Gilligan's Island premiered in 1964? I forget now. Anyway, the number one song was by Roy Orbison. And Oh Pretty Woman would be the number one song for 3 weeks.
I love Roy Orbison. My dad loved Roy Orbison. That black and white concert from what, like 89, 90, something like that? It was on PBS. Amazing, amazing television.
Such a good artist. So again, Pretty Woman, the number one hit this day 61 years ago. On this day in 1905, Albert Einstein publishes his theory of relativity. RFK Jr. still doubts it today. On this day in 1960, the first televised debate took place between Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy at a Chicago TV studio. On this day in 1986, this is another one where I'm 100% certain Parker's got nothing on this. This was on this day in 1986 when Bobby Ewing, played by Patrick Duffy, returned to this TV show Dallas. His death previously was attributed to his wife Pam having a bad dream, which, when Patrick Duffy wanted to come back to Dallas, gave them a hook to erase the entire previous season and restart all the storylines. Look at Parker reacting to this. Because it is as stupid now as it sounded then.
I wish that happened with the new Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
What year was that again?
That was 1986.
Okay, so I was 8 years old when that happened. I remember I watched that show as a kid. Shouldn't have watched that. I don't know what my parents were thinking, but I watched it. I remember when Bobby was shot, and we were like, "What's gonna happen?" And then I remember at that age being like, "This is junk." What? He walks out of the shower and he's like, "Hello there." I'm like, "What are you doing?"
Yes, it was JR who was shot, by the way, his brother. Oh. But then brother Bobby wanted to leave the show and did. And then was like, "What did I just do? I left the number one show. I want back in." And
how how was his character supposedly supposed to die? How was he was like?
I don't remember how Bobby actually died. I don't know. Parker's right away. He's got the fingers working across the Google machine right now. Oh, you jumped right on the keyboard. I thought for sure. All right.
You listening, WBA?
Yep. It was on this day in 1969, Abbey Road, the last recorded album by the Beatles, was released with songs including Here Comes the Sun and Something and Come Together and Golden Slumbers. Again, Abbey Road this day was 1969 when it was released. On this day in 1974, in Beatle member history, Apple released John Lennon's fifth studio album, Walls and Bridges, which featured this number one tune.
Sounds like Saturday Night Live.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, it does.
And this was the year before it premiered, and it was a bit of a duet with a relatively unknown Elton John. We'd only had one or two hits at this point. So Whatever Gets You Through the Night and Number 9 Dream were part of Walls and Bridges, released this day in 1974. Let's get to birthdays. The late country singer Lynn Anderson, who sang I Beg Your Pardon, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, was born this day in 1947. She died about 10 years ago. Country singer Carlene Carter is 70 today. She had a string of hits in the late 80s and early 90s. The late, and I'm always sad to say this, the late Olivia Newton-John was born this day in 1948.
Interesting fun fact about Olivia Newton-John and Carlene Carter. I mean, Carlene Carter comes from royalty in country music, basically.
Yes.
Her direct lineage is to almost the birth of it. And Olivia Newton-John, originally a country singer in America. People weren't happy about it.
Yeah.
Not happy about it, but she started out as a country-politan singer.
Yes, although there was so much what you would call what country rock or, you know, look at the Eagles. The Eagles were essentially a country band in the beginning,
yeah,
in some of those tunes, too.
Yeah.
Then Olivia figured out, hey, there's money over here on the pop side.
She did it before Taylor Swift did it.
Yes, yeah. She did. Serena Williams is 44 years old today. Let's see. On this day in 1987, Whitney Houston scored the fifth of seven consecutive number one hits with this number one song. On this day in 2012, Pink lands her first number one album with The Truth About Love. It was her sixth studio album, and it featured Blow Me One Last Kiss and Just Give Me a Reason. And it was on this day in 2020 that Donald Trump nominated Judge Amy Coney Barrett for a U.S. Supreme Court seat to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, made the nomination despite it being so close to an election, which we'd been told previously you weren't supposed to be able to do. I know. Crazy stuff. I know.
It's weird.
It's a mystery.
And in the coming days, she would lie in front of a Senate subcommittee about her views on abortion. But let's get back to the music, Pat.
Yes, exactly. That's a bit of today's history lesson. Our Week in Review panel will be along the way in our next hour. And, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, Mike Clemens previews a busy weekend for the Brewers and the Packers. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
That leaf pile is 100 feet tall. Your dad can't handle this.
Not without the right equipment.
Yard work piling up? Gear up for fall with John Deere. Get $750 off select mowers, $2,000 off select Gator UVs, and $3,000 off select compact tractors.
Did I hear your dad got a John Deere?
Yep, bad day to be a leaf pile.
Gear up for fall at an authorized John Deere dealer now through September 30th. Learn more at johndeere.com/gearupforfall.
Free trial is 7 days. If customer does not cancel prior to the end of a trial period, fees will apply.
You hear that? That's the sound of your business losing money. Legacy phone systems weren't built for today's teams. Open Phone gives your business a smarter way to stay connected. Open Phone lets you manage calls, texts, voicemail, and contacts all in one place so that you and your team can deliver a seamless customer experience from ring to... Need to take calls on the go? Open Phone automatically transcribes, summarizes, and highlights next steps from every call, so you never miss a detail. Need insight into what closes a sale? With Open Phone's AI call tags, you can instantly spot key topics like objections or pricing questions, and use those insights to coach your team and level up every customer interaction. And yes, you can bring your existing number with you for free. Keep your team in sync and your customers happy with Open Phone. Open Phone. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Open Phone for free at openphone.com/try and get 20% off your first 6 months. That's openphone.com/try. openphone.com/try.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Thursday, September 25th, 2025. Right now, being joined by our good friend, Laura Huber, 4-H program educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Laura, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks so much for having me back.
Appreciate the time. Always appreciate our friends from Extension, the great information you guys bring us, and the great work you're doing in our communities. Way at the top of that list is you and the gang at 4-H, and all the great impact you're making. One of the things that I think is really fun about 4-H, but also I imagine can be a little tough, is somebody's never heard of it. And they come up to you, Laura, and they say, tell me about 4-H. My God, I don't know where you begin with something like that. But I do think that a good resource is the project guide that you have. And that is a good kind of beginning to that conversation.
Absolutely. So it's a brand new resource that I'm so excited to share, both for those who've never heard of 4-H before and also those who've heard of 4-H and think it's just a program for farm kids, right? So this is a brand new resource that Wisconsin 4-H has put out. And if anybody's interested, I just want to let you know, it's super easy to access. You don't have to be a 4-H member. You can just go to Google and type in Wisconsin 4-H Project Guide, and you'll be able to get a better picture. Because James, I think when I'm here so often, like, I'll be racking my brain trying to think of projects, but also having the conversation, and my brain doesn't always work.
I hear you.
I love that we have the project guide right now, which can really help families figure out, you know what, I've got three kids with wildly different interests.
Yeah.
What can I do with them, right? You can absolutely enroll them in all the 4-H, or sorry, all the school activities, but then you might be running here, there, and everywhere for each of the different kids separately. 4-H, our local clubs are open to kids from kindergarten through a year past high school. We've got boys and girls and all ages all mixed into the same club. So it can really be a cool one-stop shop for families.
Yeah.
So... I don't know if that makes good sense or
absolutely
not.
Absolutely does. Okay. It absolutely does. And especially because I think, again, whether you're learning about this for the first time, you've never heard of it, or you know what it is, which I think the majority of people out there know 4-H. Mm-hmm. I think two real important points there of reminding people that 4-H is certainly, it is a welcoming place for those that love agriculture and all that, but it's not just that.
Right.
And to that point, there is literally something for everybody. Any kid can find something in a project or an activity that 4-H is doing that could really help them excel, help them enjoy things, along with so many other great things that 4-H does.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we like to emphasize in 4-H is we have these things called projects, and really they're just areas of interest that young people can get their hands dirty and explore to their heart's delight. And sometimes what they're going to dive into is something that they absolutely love and they want to do more and they want to go deeper and they want to, you know, the whole run of it. And sometimes it's like, hey, this is kind of fun for now, but this isn't my passion for forever. Yeah. And what the project guide will do is it'll help walk you through, like, oh my gosh, what are the big areas? James, I know that you are really into theater, mm-hmm. right? So let's say we've got young people who are really into theater. Mm-hmm. We've got this umbrella area called expressive arts. So, you know, young people are artistic. Your child is artistic. What kinds of things might they be able to explore in mm-hmm. 4-H? And James, you already know, young people in 4-H can explore theater.
Yes.
We have a program where we'll put kids up on stage in one-act plays or skits or all of that kind of stuff. But they might not want that kind of expression. Maybe they are just really into writing. They like kind of being behind the scenes, but mm-hmm. still entertaining people with some beautiful writing. We can do that. And so you go into the project guide, you find that expressive arts area, and you can see all of the different areas. But what I really love about this is it kind of can walk you through what is the project like for a beginner? What about those who are a little bit more experienced? Yeah. And how can they continue to advance? Because, right, we're trying to help young people become experts in areas that they're interested in. And it's not because we're trying to make, more cake decorators or more woodworkers in the world. Mm-hmm. It's because we know that when young people grab on to something that they're really interested in, that is how they build all of the life skills to mm-hmm. be successful. They're going to work on problem solving. They're going to work on persistence and like all of those sorts of things.
Working with others and so yes. many of these things that you and I have touched on quite a bit mm-hmm. over the years and always were worth noting. Because mm-hmm. all of these projects, all these different things that we're talking about, the underlying theme of the things that these kids learn and grow from is accessible to every one of these projects.
Absolutely. You know, when we take a look at our kids and we might take a look and see what are the things that they're already interested in. Are they already, I don't know, making TikTok videos? Is that something that they're doing? Well, how can we take their interest in making those TikTok videos? And maybe they're doing dances or maybe they're, showing how to do a something or other. There is a way through 4-H that we can really help them develop that. So we might be helping them to improve their video creation and editing skills, or we might be helping them develop their dance skills, their performance skills, their public speaking skills, mm-hmm. like you name it,
all
and we
things.
Can do it. Absolutely.
You know, when we were kids, there was a lot of freak out kind of over video games mm-hmm. and well, there's no positive to them. And we've seen the reports, we've seen the data, we've seen our generations get older and seen that, yes, that, you know, too much of anything can be bad. And they're not to say that every video game and every second spent on them is, you know, time well spent. Some of it is just leisure. But we've seen hand-eye coordination. We've seen some of these other things, sharing some of the other skill sets that these generations learned very well because of video games. The modern medias, YouTube, TikTok, any of this stuff, is the equivalent of that in many ways. It's different in plenty of others too, but is the basic core of these things that Laura is talking about there are no different than what we learned with video games than what they're learning nowadays with some of these other resources. And, you know, not every kid's going to grow up and maybe keep doing this or anything. But to Laura's point, again, that confidence that they build, that awareness, understanding stuff, and even just understanding technology and some of these things better is going to be, you know, helpful to them the older they get.
Yep. Well, and I would like to note, right, we talk about how people think that 4-H is all about farm because that's where its roots are. But 4-H is changing and expanding and growing to meet the needs of youth today. So as you said,
were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former FBI Director James Comey says bring on the trial after he was indicted on federal charges accusing him of misleading lawmakers during Senate testimony. CBS's Scott McFarland.
James Comey will appear in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia in the coming days to answer to these two federal charges. The grand jury declined to approve a third charge.
President Trump's announced a new round of taxes on imports. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
We have a 100% tariff on all imported pharmaceuticals. A 50% tariff on kitchen cabinets, 30% on upholstered furniture.
Officials say the 29-year-old suspect in Wednesday's deadly shooting outside an ICE field office in Dallas left written notes behind. Acting U.S. Attorney